Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here again another week. And so excited to go over today's show. And for all of you that are used to our format, we usually do half real estate, half self-help, motivational, community issues. And we mix it up. It's not always in that order. And today you guys get me, totally me. And we are going to talk about assumable loans, some questions you'd want to ask, make sure you ask, and pros and cons. Now, most of these would be in the United States, but they could be elsewhere, depending on the lenders involved, et cetera. So if you would like to call in, the number is 347-945-5428. A lot of our listeners are agents and brokers, too, that listen at later times, and you're welcome to use this any which way you want. So here we go, and we are starting the new year, 2017, new president. Congratulations, President Donald Trump. And it's been a lot of change. A lot of changes are going on for a lot of people, and I hope you all out there are doing well. And many, many people make their New Year's resolutions, before in December, and they end by the end of this month. So hopefully, hey, if you made resolutions and you stopped already, stop the diet, stop the change, you know, do it again. Make today another day. No need to fret or beat yourself up. Just let's get going forward. So we are going to also a couple little things. We have a lot of people that listen at later times. So if you have questions, you can always email radio@realityuniversal.com or go to our website, realityuniversal.com, and put your questions in. We will definitely get back to you, promise. We can always also, we have a pretty large network, so we can introduce you to other real estate agents and brokers that offer our programs. So I'm going to take a quick break and come right back and dig into assumable loans and some news today. And this is Natalie Mullinex, and you're listening to Realty Universal Radio. We're going to go over assumable loans, questions you'd want to ask if you're a seller or a buyer. If you're thinking, if you have a loan that's assumable, on your property. We're basically talking about real estate properties today. Many different types of loans may be assumable, so you always want to double check and find out if that's the case. So before we get going real quick, we were just talking briefly about, well, of course, we have a new president and a lot's been going on. There's people that are pro or con of a, you know, pro president, not pro, no matter which side you voted on. It's so important if we can really agree to disagree. I had a tough time, I have to say, personally, seeing some of the protesters cussing and being, you know, not nice. And when one of the pictures was I don't know if the boy was 9, 10, 11, starting a fire the night before the inauguration, and he said some very less than choice things. And all I could think was, God, who were his parents? Like, why did this? I mean, how could they let him do this? So I am not here to judge or say anything. And I just wanted to mention it just because of the timing and that we're talking about some news today in the news. And it's such a big thing. We all have the right for choices. And that's the beautiful part about America, and have freedom and everybody. It's a melting pot, and that's what it's always been, and I think that's what it's always going to be, but we still have rules here to go by. But I just wish and pray that we could learn to ask for our rights, demand our rights, get out there, and protesting is part of the constitution. We're allowed to do it too, as long as it's done peacefully. But I don't know why they have the rudeness has to come in, and the bashing and the ugliness and all that. And I'm just saying that I know there's just a better way to do this. We really can get along, and you know, no matter who we vote for, we have that right. But it's not. And there's so many other things I don't want to go through because the show today is about assumables, but I just wanted to mention that I pray that everybody can get along and agree to disagree and pray and realize that we do have choices, and also to give President Trump a chance. He's done quite a lot. He's done more than I've ever seen anybody do in the last week, and he just became president. So that's just my two cents, but I want to throw it out there. Because it's so important what we're teaching our kids, and if we're teaching our kids to be belligerent, that's certainly not going to make a better world in 10, 15, 20, 30 years. So that's my two cents for what it's worth. Again, you have a right to vote for, you have a right to stand your grounds, and it is important to have a voice. But the other stuff that was coming out was just not really necessary. So just something to think about. So back to assumable loans. And regarding mortgage loans, an assumable loan is going to be if somebody has a mortgage loan and that a borrower can actually assume. So that means a third party can take ownership of the home and the loan. The loan's transferred to them. The interest rate should remain the same. Some lenders may charge a fee for the transaction. Now, also, if somebody, for example, has had the loan, they've already had this loan 5 or 10 years, you're going to get the benefit of assuming their loan and not paying as much interest over the life of the loan if you took out a new loan today. Many loans are assumable and many loans are not assumable. And so we're going to go and we're going to dig in and just discuss different types of loans that are assumable, why you may want to do it, why you may not want to do it. I can't stress enough, if you're a seller or a buyer, you want to really make sure you're talking to the lender, talk to an accountant, attorney. Make sure that you're getting into something that you can handle. If you're a seller, same thing. You want to make sure that you know what you're on the hook for. There used to be loans that were simple assumptions, and now that's pretty much history. Now, I also, and it's a good thing to point out, never assume, right? Don't, because you know what that makes at you when you assume. So you always want to double check. And as long as I've been in this industry, there are so many new changes that I still have to double check, and I like to see it in writing. And there's nothing wrong with you saying to the lender, can you do me a favor, can you show me where that code is, or send it to me, send a copy of it to me? I'd like to just read it myself. There's nothing wrong with that. So today we're really going to, we won't be able to go over every single different program, but we're going to go over what are the questions that you want to make sure you ask, and always ask, double check. Just like when you're going out and getting insurance or life insurance or term insurance or disability insurance or long-term care, don't assume that the person knows every single thing they're telling you. Now, most of them are very educated in their field, but don't assume that they're 100% right. So ask questions and get the proof is in the pudding. So assumable loans. Why would you want to let your loan be assumed if you're a seller, for example? If you're a seller, you may want to let it be assumed. And if you're having a hard time selling your home and it makes it more attractive to sell it, you may want to let somebody assume your loan. If you're facing foreclosure or getting ready to go into a short sale, you may want to let somebody assume your loan. Typically, most of the rules on assuming loans is that you cannot be in default already. So that's another thing you have to check with your lender. Can my loan be assumable if I'm 2 months behind on my mortgage? Some can. So we're going to go back in time a little bit. Prior to 1988, and VA and FHA loans were assumable. Now, I was reading earlier today where they said it was 1986, for FHA loans being assumable, I mean under a simple assumption. What a simple assumption means is the borrower does not have to qualify. That borrower can literally, you can sign the paperwork over to them, and they can take over your loan, and they don't have to qualify at all. There's pros and cons to that as well, as you can imagine. And since, now, I was reading 86, and I know I had a particular loan on a property in 87 that was assumable under FHA. So always want to double-check everything you're finding out and hearing, because things could be a year off or 2 years off or just, you know, and so this comes back to never assume. It's kind of funny, though, how we're going through assumptions, and you just don't want to assume. So prior to 1988, a VA loan could be assumed with a simple assumption. FHA loans could be assumed. Now, again, that's going between 87, 88, 86. And nowadays, the FHA, the VA loans, the USDA loans, you must qualify if you're going to assume somebody's loan. They're not going to let you just go in and sign paperwork over and assume the loan. Most conventional loans are not assumable. But again, you hear me say most. You want to double check. If you're a seller, you'll have your loan documents. You can pull your loan documents out and go through it and read and see what it says as far as if it's assumable or not. You can also call the lender and find out. There's lots of reasons. It does make your home more saleable if your loan's assumable. Now, if your interest rate is lower than the market rate, it's going to be attractive. If your interest rate is a lot higher than the market rate, most people are not going to want to assume your loan because they don't want to pay a higher rate. There's a caveat to that. If you've already paid down on your loan quite a bit, depending on how many years are left, somebody may want to assume it. So you can see how each individual case can be different based on how many years are left on the loan, how many years have been paid down on the principal. So it's wise to go ahead and run an amortization schedule based on if the loan was originally 30 years, 15 years, what it was. You'd have to find out, and that's easy to do. And you can see if you're on the selling side, you know your advantages. On the buying side, it still may be advantageous if a lot's been paid off. So this is one area that I think is very untapped out in the real estate industry right now when people are listing and selling homes, because so many of us assumed, well, you have to qualify to take it over. And typically, and a buyer has to qualify, and if the rates are really low, most people aren't going to do it. Now, also, when somebody did a simple assumption years ago, it still kept the seller on the hook for that loan. So if somebody didn't follow, there were different where they didn't follow through, you could still be liable for the loan if you were a seller. So a lot of things have changed, and that's why you want to double check specifically on your specific scenario and make sure everything's in writing and make sure you're covered. So why would you want to? So there's just different types of situations. Looks like a couple. We'll go over some different situations and that pros and cons. So if you're a seller, as long as your eligibility is definitely not going to be hurt, it may be very advantageous for you to let a buyer take over your assumable loan. So say, for example, you own a property and it's worth $330,000, and your loan right now is $290,000. There is nothing wrong with you saying, okay, I'm going to let you assume my loan. I'm going to let you take over the $290,000 loan as long as you qualify, but I need you to pay the difference in cash. I need you to pay from $290 to $330 in cash. So when we start looking at different scenarios and you chunk down and you go through different scenarios, you can see why some situations make sense, some don't. And I really love in the industry to really point out each situation is so different. So when people say, don't ever do that, that's not worth it, don't ever do this. We had a show on a couple weeks ago about the reverse mortgages, and then we're going to have another one in a couple weeks, I believe it's the 8th, up to 11th February, on buying through a reverse mortgage. Well, years ago, people used to say, oh, don't even touch those, they're horrible. But they're not horrible anymore. So definitely open your ears, open your eyes, and look at this before just assuming. Remember, this is your house, your life, your business. Don't assume. Just dig in and find out. So as for a seller, it makes it more attractive. Now, right now the interest rates are really low, but many people that purchased in the last couple of years also the past few years have really low interest rates. So that 1% difference may make a difference. As a buyer, there may be a lot of sellers that are like, I've just got to get out of this. I have to move. I've got to get out of state, or somebody passed away, or they're done. The house isn't selling, and they're going to let you assume it and not have to pay the difference. So this is just an untapped thing that's going on, because so many people are assuming that somebody doesn't want to do it, or I'm going to get my own loan. When you get your own loan, though, you're going to pay more fees. You're going to have to pay down payment, depending on what type of loan, et cetera, et cetera. So just really, we never have enough time on these shows to go through everything. And my idea, I always tell everybody, it's giving you food for thought. It's actually giving you good information that you can, and you can find out and say, hey, I hadn't thought about that. Why don't I do this? Why don't I check into that? And it may make the difference between you getting it done or not getting done. USDA loans, if you want to assume a USDA loan, and you're a buyer, you have to qualify for the USDA loan, and they have income limits too. So that's something to check into everywhere. There's stories after stories where people that have done different creative financing. Creative financing is done constantly, all the time. You can also do people do rent with sales. They do rent with option. There's a St. Germain Act that was passed in 1982. I haven't been keeping up on it, but it actually had an exception to the due on sale clause. The due on sale clause in your paperwork says, and you want to read your loan docs. And if you don't have your loan docs, just you can contact the lender and have them get you a copy. So instead of trying to spend hours and hours, just get in touch with them and have them pull a copy and send it to you. Your loan docs will show if you have a due-on-sale clause. I would bet you, and I'm not assuming, but I'd bet you 99% of the loans are going to have a due-on-sale clause. What that means is if you transfer title if you transfer title to a buyer, you're supposed to pay the loan in full, pay it off in full. Well, people doing rent with sales, there's agreement of sales, all kinds of other things, technically aren't transferring the full deed if it's not recorded and they're not transferring the deed. So that should not trigger a due-on-sale clause. You have to read your documents even more carefully. But if you're transferring the deed over, or if you're going to put them on the deed and say, hey, we're going to give you all this, that technically could transfer it if you're trying to hold the mortgage. So owner financing is if you are holding, if you're saying to somebody, okay, I'll be like the bank. So you pay me, I owe $300,000, and my payment's $2,000 or $2,500 a month, whatever it works out with taxes and insurance. You go ahead and pay me that. I'm going to hold the mortgage for you, da-da-da-da. Well, technically, if you still have a mortgage on your property, you really can't do that without the lender's permission. People do it. People do all the kinds of things. But you just want to make sure that what you're doing can be done so that you don't put yourself in a situation where all of a sudden you have no house, no money, and you're out of the whole, out of luck. So when there's different things that people do with getting creative. You, even on the assumption, you have to talk to the lender as far as some people want to hold a second, which I don't really recommend ever holding a second. I'd rather see you get the money or hold a first. So there's just a lot to go over. Again, you can also email us at radio@realityuniversal.com or go on the website, ask questions. We can put you in touch with people. But this is pretty simple as far as getting your loan docs if you're a seller, seeing what you have, talking to lenders, and if you're a buyer, checking out the properties, saying, hey, would you consider assuming, what's your rates, what's the situation on your loan, can it be assumed? It's worth looking into all of this. So really, if you're a seller, I'm going to go through a couple of the different loans, pros and cons, and then some other things to be careful of if you're a seller and if you're a buyer. Overall, you may save 1%, 2% off the interest rate if you assume about a loan. There's just so many ways, so many things that can work out. And also, if you're going to do a rent with a sale or any of that type of thing, those types of things, always check with your local rental laws and see how long somebody can do that, how long they're allowed to pay on that loan or pay on that before they do it. So just everything has to be checked out. If somebody approaches you, if you're a seller, be careful of scams. Be careful of people telling you that they're going to give you the money and then you turn the title over and they're going to take care of everything else. Just make sure everything's done step by step and you know the people involved doing this. There's also situations where you have to see who's going to be liable for what if there's any other monies outside of the assumable happening. Basically, you're better off getting that right up front. So, FHA, VA, USDA loans are, in today's day, assumable as long as somebody qualifies. There's different stipulations also. Under a VA loan, if you have a VA loan on your home and you want to let a buyer assume your VA loan, you can do this and they'll qualify and you work out the terms on if they're going to pay any money down. They would assume your existing loan, but at that point, you as the veteran, you lose your eligibility to buy another property under the VA with your VA eligibility, which, of course, gives you the option to buy another property at the current VA rates, plus you can do 100% financing. Seller can pay everything. So it's important to see, know what your plans are and investigate the whole thing. But if you are a vet and you have a VA loan on your property and you do want to let somebody assume it, at the point in time in the future, if they decide to sell the home or they refinance the home, you get your eligibility back. So it's wise to stipulate that in your contract or that they notify you or you keep in touch somehow so that you know that you can actually get that eligibility back if they do refinance or sell the home, because that will stay with the property. And so that's one thing to think about when you're planning for the future. So with the low interest rates, you can see why so many people would just say, well, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to find out. We're not going to worry about if somebody's loan is assumable. Now, it's highly unlikely that you're going to find loans from the 80s and before that are still in effect where you could do a simple assumption. But you never know. You never know what could be going on there. there's been cases where people actually have, I mean, they go and they've transferred the deeds, they've talked to the lenders, and lenders could do the due all on sale clause and come in and require it and haven't done that. So I don't want to recommend necessarily transferring the deed, but there's a lot of things that people do. I think it's best not to transfer your deed. So just want to remember that due on sale clause is really important to make sure that you're covering it and that you're comfortable with everything. Some of the basic eligibility requirements on the on loans, of course, you have to be current on your loans, no 30-day late payments in the last 6 months if you have a property and you want to it's your primary residence, or it could be under, if you're in it, doing an Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac can check into these too. If you're a seller, your loan has to be current under certain guidelines for them to be able to assume it. So we're going to go on a couple different FHA, same thing. They're going to have to qualify. Qualifying an FHA, some lenders can do it as low as 580. I think the standard score is around 620. It's unbelievable qualifications. VA, I think people have done under 600 for the score as well. So it's definitely worth doing. On FHA, also, FHA is not going to hurt. If you have an FHA loan and you let somebody assume your FHA loan, you can buy another property FHA, as far as from everything I can find. The reason I put that caveat in there is so many things keep changing. Just recently, they had the FHA mortgage insurance. So that's another big thing to look at when you're with FHA, depending on when you bought the property, and this, the buyer is going to be interested in this as well. Under the old rules, up until, the 90s, and then we're around 2000, if you have an FHA loan, the mortgage insurance premium, basically is what it is, your mortgage insurance is PMI, it could not MIP. You'd have to refinance the house in order to get rid of it. Once you had paid 20% down on most loans, conventional loans, once you've paid 20% down, the FHA, you can get an appraisal, talk to the lender. Your mortgage insurance is supposed to go away. Under FHA, it doesn't go away. Well, there was a period there in the 2000s that it did go away if you refinanced the if you paid down 20%. Now, that has been back in – the old rules have been back in play for quite a while now. So under the new FHA rules, when you have to pay the MIP, which is your mortgage insurance premium, it doesn't go away unless you refinance the house. So that's something to look at too. So if you're a buyer and you want to buy and assume somebody's loan, there's a period in there that in the 2000s that – that 20% off. So that can save you a lot too. So there's different questions to ask when you're going in to look at assumables. And ask an expert, ask an expert and double check. And make sure that, you see these things in writing, that you can do this. I want to throw it out there for anybody, because we're talking about assumables, kind of refinance, anybody that has did get a loan before May 31st, 2009, under Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, you may be eligible for the HARP program, which is supposed to expire in 2017. So you're supposed to be current on your mortgage, no 30-day late payments in the last 6 months, no more than one in the last 12 months. Your home is a primary residence, could be one-unit second home or 1-4-unit investment property. It's owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. If you don't know if your loan is Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, you can just Google Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae and go up, and there's like a lookup tool that you can punch in your address. And you have to acknowledge that you're the owner, or you have right to do this, and it'll tell you whether it's Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae. You see a lot of people advertising the HARP program, but they're leaving it out in the ads that it has to have originated, the loan has to have originated before 2009. The good thing about that, it says, and also your current loan to value must be greater than 80%. You can actually go, do a refi without having to do the appraisal and the credit and the all the other qualifications. So that's a good thing to know. But hurry and jump on that now if it's something you're interested in doing, if you but your loan had to originate before May of 2009. So that's important to know. And be careful. There's a lot of scams out there. There's a lot of things that go on. And just take your time. Don't rush into anything and get the information. Ask questions. Remember, no question's a stupid question, only a question that's not asked. There was something, there were a lot of scams that were going on called deed theft, where people would come in and say, hey, you know, they're going to, you know, we're going to take over your property. I mean, we're going to do it, give you some cash, and then what wasn't stipulated to protect anybody is that they would walk away, not make the payments, and they would borrow monies on your house. So it's really, I don't like the idea of transferring the deed. If you're the seller and you haven't gotten all your money, I don't like the idea of transferring the deed. Now, under the assumption loans, you're going to be able to do that because it's going to be an all on, up and up deal, completely 100%, and which all should be. So you want to be careful on how that, if somebody's telling you to do something that's not in the up, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't even consider it. So just you got to be really careful of different scams. There are third-party arrangements that are not scams, that are definitely creative financing, that are legal, that you can do, and you can tie it in so that you're protected and there's docs drawn up. So anytime you're going to do any of this, you definitely want to make sure the lender's involved and a title company or an escrow company is involved. I wouldn't do it by myself if I were you. You know, we have what they call quit claim deeds, where you can just transfer your right of ownership over to somebody else, and two people can do it without title searches, without anything. I don't recommend it. I mean, it's different if it's your son or daughter or family member and you're transferring for other reasons or estate planning and the attorneys are involved, but or husband to wife. There's just different things where different situations where quick claim deeds make sense. I do not recommend it when you're doing any of these transactions with a seller or buyer, vice versa, you know, you guys don't really know each other. I definitely, and if you're going to do it, there could be a situation you're doing it, but make sure the title company or escrow company is involved. Yes, there's going to be some other little fees, but these fees can protect you in the long run. So definitely just do it on the uppity up. If you're a buyer, make sure that you know the title company, escrow company, of course, if they're involved, they're going to do a full title search to make sure you're not assuming something. You could be honestly assuming somebody's loan, and they could have other things on the deed or on the title that's they're not aware of, or there could be agreements that they've signed that haven't been recorded. That as soon as you assume their loan, the other party can go record them, which takes up that equity. So just you got to double check everything, but I wouldn't be afraid of it. So I'm just kind of today just telling you questions and answers of things to ask and make sure that you're going through it. The loan business has changed drastically. There's just many, many more laws were put into effect after the crisis to protect the consumer. Me being in the industry, so some of them are overkill. Some of them are not really protecting. They're kind of hurting the industry. I think also lenders are scared to death because the fines are enormous, astronomically enormous. So they're doing more than dotting their I's and crossing their T's. Sometimes there's loans that are getting turned down that maybe shouldn't be turned down for things that are can be worked out. So definitely it's there's a lot to do in the process. But if you can hang in there, it can work out, and you can buy properties and save money and do it right and build your equity, build your nest egg, and enjoy. So, any questions? I guess we're gonna have we get the email questions too. I'm gonna answer a couple of those later because we're running out of time here. We will definitely email. We can we'll definitely get back to you on every question. There's a question about installment plans, installment loans. Well, An installment loan is when you're going to sell your home to a buyer, and the buyer is going to take over your payments with an installment like contract. If you're doing it that way, if you're talking about an assumable type of way to do it. It's kind of like a lease option to buy or rent to own. I like a rent to own better than an option because you want specified times and dates put in there. You want to know that there's non-refundable deposits if you're a seller. You want to know that there's money and people have skin in the deal rather than just doing an option. An option could be where the person changes their mind next month or next year, and that's not going to help you. The installment plans can be good, but there's a couple things to look at. If you're doing an installment plan and the person is going to take out another type of loan later to pay you off, will the property still appraise then? Because we don't know if the market's going up or down. Also, there's different laws in different states as far as type of agreements and what you can and can't do. So you just want to check into that. Also, if somebody, if the seller keeps the title, right, and doesn't transfer it, and then the mortgage is paid off, what happens? I mean, you know, so everything, it sounds simple. And it all can be done, and it can be worked out really well. But you just want to make sure you're getting competent advice and not doing this totally on your own without checking that out. So it's definitely there's a lot of ways you can work things out. Even if there's, you know, you can also work out if it's something you're going to do in the future and you're getting parts of the money now, you guys can work out if the properties go up, who gets the difference in equity. If it goes down, what happens? I'm a believer, because I've been in so long, I'm a believer in some of the creative financing and structuring situations to work it out, because, you know, not everything's cookie cutter. As long as it's legal and as long as you can work it out and everybody's happy and everybody's protected, that's definitely. So get out, if you're a seller, get your loan doc. See if you're considering selling. See if your loan's assumable. And if you're a buyer, okay, how do you find out if the property's assumable? Well, check with local real estate agents. You can go online and try to find out if they're assumable. In the multiple listing systems, which are all across the country, most of the MLSs, but not all maybe, they usually have a place that says the current financing. And the agents have to ask and know, or the sellers have to know to put it on their paperwork that, yes, my loan's assumable. Typically, okay, a lot of times it's not recommended for a seller to say what the amount of what you have on your loan on your listing, because somebody may take advantage of you. If you're selling your house for $600,000 and they find out you only owe $100,000, you may not want to say that, because then they lowball you. When it comes to an assumable, or if you're in advertising, marketing, and real estate, if you are putting down an interest rate, you're supposed to disclose everything, the rate, the point, you know, I mean, the rate, the amount, et cetera. So you get into all these other issues. So how do you find out? It's almost like finding a needle in a haystack, because many, many people are not going to think to ask on the listings if it's assumable, especially in this low interest rate market. Also, and people qualify. I had an owner on the Big Island asked me about, well, this loan's assumable, and let me double check, because it was USDA, and yes, absolutely, they are assumable if the person qualifies. I thought he was meaning like they could just take it over on a simple assumption, and I'm like, that's not what I know of. They don't do it. So, and you can't. So you always want to double check. So there's different scenarios that people aren't going to think about putting down assumable. So first start, you can start through the internet sites, the websites. It would take you to go and look at, you could actually go to the county records and pull loan docs, but that would take so long. And it would be nice if we, there may be some sites that do some of that, but so you just kind of have to explore and ask. If you're buying the home for your self-principal resident, you typically know where you want to go and what area, and just start asking. If you're doing this as an investor, pick your farm area, pick your area, and just start asking. You can even run ads, you know, or do you have an assumable loan? I'm interested in buying assumable loans. So that's the long and short of it. So, but, you know, everything takes work, doesn't it? It's just worth it, though. If it's worth it and you want to do it, I definitely think it's worth it. So we are just about to the end of the show today. It goes by rather, rather fast. Just you can Google also different types of loan programs. that is pretty much the end of the day. So email us with your questions at radio@realityuniversal.com or go to our website, realityuniversal.com. And if you're a seller, we do have affiliates in all 50 states if you want to. We can refer you outside of the country as well. But we have sellers that use our programs and go through affiliates if you want to put your property in the MLS and do it as a flat fee and sell it yourself, or if you want to have full representation. Agents and brokers can do that as well. One program that seems to be taken off really well is called the 1% program. And that program is where you are fully represented by an agent or broker, but they do it virtually, so you're saving the money. There is a co-op fee involved, and that co-op fee is what you pay the selling broker, another broker that's either representing a buyer or could usually they're representing, they might not be. That's the fee you pay the other side, whoever brings the buyer. But you can save quite a little bit of money, a lot of money on that program. And with the 1%, what's interesting is it's the same as the full service, like 6% and 5 or 6%, depending on what the traditional amount is they're charging you. But negotiating's done, feedback's done, all the contracts are handled, everything like that. So you do save quite a little money, and it's a really good program. So I'm just putting that out there because a lot of people, and if you're buying, there's also buyer rebate programs. So I just wanted to mention that a lot. We don't do a lot of plug-ins on the show. People tell me I should be doing way more, but I just love to keep it organic, and we have our network of agents and brokers listen at their leisure. Other people listen at their leisure. So I just, I guess I'm just old-fashioned, but we're not trying to I just like to keep it simple and organic, and as you can tell, we're just talking away, but we are giving you, I hope we're giving you good food for thought and some interesting topics that you can, and some maybe, we know when it's real estate, sometimes I go, oh my gosh, this seems like a boring topic, but it really isn't boring if it helps somebody, right? And I have to, I can't assume that everybody knows these different things, so that's why we try to do it and make it fun for everybody. So, hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to realtyuniversal.com. Make it a great day.